All right, Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 32, Bible says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. They were arrested. We're going to talk about that today. And when they heard this, their people, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. This is what David said. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Glenn's been experiencing that at work. They'll take their stand against you. Can I get a witness on that? Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Lord, we come to you this morning with boldness, Lord. We come to you this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, and needs in our lives, Lord. Lord, we are challenged in our existence, Lord. We pray that you would come and that you would meet us here and that you would guide us, Lord, today, that you would help us, Lord, to understand how we can move out of the dimness of our lives and to come into the fullness that is available in you, Lord. We pray that you would meet us here, that you would anoint this time, that you would guide us in that. And we ask all that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, we went up to, I saw beautiful babies, and I saw some babies. Anyway, we went up to L.A., and we went up there for Thanksgiving, and the prized baby was not there. Lisa's grandnephew was missing because his father, a fireman, was working. And I talked to my brother-in-law and said, hey, we know what's going on. He says, oh, man, they got him going through training. He's completing his one-year, test? What do they call that? Not a sabbatical. What do you call that? Where you're kind of on, they're what?
Intern.
Yeah, no. They've got you on trial, and they can fire you easy.
Probation,
that's it. And so, man, they got all this stuff and testing is going on. And because what they really want you to be able to do is to put water on a fire. Is that what a fireman does? Amen, right? And so they got all this stuff. They got all this gear. And what they got to do is they got to take that water so they can put that fire out. Now, we are on a series called The Reality of the Resurrection. And this talks about, we started looking at the resurrection of Jesus and the impact that it has on our lives. And we went through the end of the Gospel of Luke and John, and we took a look at the resurrection accounts, and then we started taking a look at the new church. The story that we are ending today, we started 3 weeks ago and begins at the beginning of chapter 3. And it actually started on the previous day. Now, the first six chapters of Acts are the first 2 to 3 years history of the early church. And so this story would have occurred within a couple of years of Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, what happened was the church would be meeting right in the temple, and they would meet in Solomon's colonnades, as we have talked before, which is this front wall here right across from the main temple, and there's like a patio in there, and there's patio all the way around. And they would be having church every day in Solomon's colonnade. Well, one of these days, Peter and John are going up into the temple to pray, and there's gates in here, and by one of the gates, there was this beggar. And the beggar had been placed there for years and years. They had been born lame, and he would go there day in and day out, and he would beg. And so one day, they're getting ready to, or maybe they just had church or going in for the prayer time. And here's this guy sitting there, and he's being carried in. And he looks at Peter and John. And, you know, these guys are famous guys. He's been preaching. He's been seeing them. And he looks up expecting to get some money from them. And Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Pretty good if you're a lame guy. Amen? And so all... Can I get a witness on that, please? Thank you very much. Yes, it lets me know that you are indeed here and are tracking with me. Thank you for that, Glenn, bringing that. So anyway, there's like 5,000 people. They're getting saved, giving their lives to the Lord, and there's all this commotion. And so the captain of the temple guard comes and arrests them and throws them in jail overnight. Kind of a bummer. I mean, how many of you want to get arrested coming out of church today and get thrown in jail overnight? No, they didn't want to either. I really don't. They were the preachers. They were the leaders. And it says, you're creating too big of a commotion. And so they let them go. And they told them, we don't want you talking about Jesus anymore. They had a problem. They had all this commotion going on. And that's where our story picks up. And they come out of this challenge. They come out of this problem. And they go have a prayer meeting. I think, why? And I've been to prayer meetings. I can't get it. Bible says, I'm sorry. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. How many of you guys got keys in your pocket? I got a bunch of keys. I can open almost anything around here. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Question for you today is, are you using them? Are you able to access the resources of God? He says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Now, does that sound powerful to you? He says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And what he's saying is we're going to back up your play. You have got the power of the kingdom of God at your fingertips. You got the keys. Question is, are you going to use them? It is as if we have the resources of the kingdom of God at our fingertips. And we can spray those resources over any situation that we're involved with. Glenn and I prayed for the situation at his work. He said, they are messing with me at church because I'm a Christian. So we prayed, and it's like having a big old fire hose full of the resources of the kingdom of God just kind of hosing down Glenn. Hosing down his workplace. Do you get that picture? Can you see that as we come together, Jesus says, two or three gathered in my name, I'm right there with you. He says, you ask anything in my name and you got it. And he's saying, hey, if you guys would get together, grab onto the hose of heaven, you guys can begin to pour out the resources of God on your situations. But so often, we're happy with just a drop or two. Are you happy with a drop or two? I'm going to talk about 15 minutes to change today. Change your situation to go from that to that. Does that sound like a good transformation? Is that something that you might be interested in learning? We're going to talk about 15 minutes of change, and we're going to talk about these issues, that we would come to the Lord each day, and we would start off with praise. We would present him with our praise, and then you would present yourself, your person. You would present your problems. You would present your people, and you would present your priorities to God, and I believe that you could do that in about 15 minutes. You might start going a little bit longer because you like it. But if I tell you you got to pray for an hour and you start thinking, oh, I got to pray for an hour, we're already done. You sit down with God and you start thinking how long you're going to have to do it, you might as well just quit. But you start rolling through these things and lining up and syncing up with God, that 15 minutes a day will change your life. Do you want to hear about this? All right, that's enough. All right, we'll go. All right, number one, we got to establish a daily connection with God. Let's go back. These guys just got out of jail. They go back and tell the people what is going on, and what do? They start to praise God. Man, we just got out of jail. God, how come you didn't stop all that stuff? That seems like the way we pray. God, how come you didn't stop my dilemma? How come you didn't do it? They start with praise. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Don't you think that's a good place to start with God? Remembering who he is. So we're going to start with praise. We're going to start with praise. They started with praise. They had a problem and they began to praise God. He goes, these guys start with praise. We start our days with praise, and it is good to establish who is the creator in our relationship. You know what I mean? I mean, we can kind of start thinking like we're a little bit more important than we might think. You ever think that? See, they say that God is a sovereign God. That means that God does what he wants to do. Many people would rather not have him do what he wants to do. Many people would rather have him do what they want him to do. They don't really view him as a sovereign God. They view him more as a puppet God. God, I need this. God, I need that. I need you to hook me up. And what we need is a daily reminder that our God in heaven is indeed our creator. Am I talking to anybody here? See, we don't have a claim on him. He has a claim on us. And we come into his presence and we remember what that relationship is based on. That he purchased us from sin. That if there's any obligation involved in the relationship, it is obligation from us to him. It's quiet. Who said amen? Was that you, Jared? Oh, that was Roki. Amen. You guys can say amen. It lets me know that you guys are tracking with me. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We start off our day and we present our praise to God and we remind ourselves who is in control. We reestablish it every morning. And it will be a great way to start your day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Point number two. We're moving quick. Present your person. Present your praise. Present your person. Little secret. All these start with P. I had to work a little bit on person, okay? Thank you. All right. Yeah. You can say, oh, we appreciate your hard work, Pastor. Yes. Search me, oh God. Do you go to God like that? Search me, God. Look inside me, God. Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. That's a bold prayer. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. You start your day off every day praying that prayer, bringing yourself before God, opening your soul to God, saying, God, what is in here that needs to get fixed? Expects an answer. He's going to find something. I mean, you don't come to God and say, God, what in here's messed up? Don't expect to say, oh, nothing, you're good. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Yeah. See, anytime you come to the Lord and say, Lord, what needs to be fixed? He's got an answer for you. You might not want to find that answer. You step into the presence of God. It is like sitting before one of these, I'm sorry, let me see. Yeah, before sitting one of these makeup mirrors. You ladies know about those things, right? I don't really know about those things. I don't really like those things. You know, I don't really understand them. I don't know if they are there to show you what you are doing, you know, so that you can really be doing a good, or to show you what you need to do. You know what I mean? So, whoa! But sometimes there's just too much information coming back from that mirror, and a lot of people would just rather avoid the whole situation. And that can be the way we approach God. It's too hard bearing your soul. That verse I had up there, hey, if you think you're without sin, the Bible says you're lying. Truth is not in you. So when you go and you head up to the Lord and say, what's going on with me? He will have an answer for you. But rather than have that answer, rather than get that information, like, oh man, those wrinkles, where'd that wrinkle come from? Some of you people are young. Not so many. Him. I wasn't there last week. I don't want to know about that. You see, and there's some stuff in our lives that we don't want to know about. We'd rather just live in guilt. See, many of us have become accustomed to living lives of guilt, and we want to come to the Lord and have Him tell us how to move out of that, saying, no, it's easier just living in guilt. So you come to the Lord daily. Present your praise, and you present your person. And the Lord will speak to your heart. Bible says, lead me in your ways everlasting. That implies you will follow. If you want Him to lead you, He'll lead you. But you got to follow. He'll lead you into fullness of life, and He'll lead you into change. 15 minutes every morning. Discover what needs to be changed, and then how to change it. Does that sound good? It's hard, but it's good. All right. Another thing is, I'm studying the Word of God. I see that God can handle the big stuff. Some of us just think, oh, this is too big for God. No, nothing is too big for God. Because these guys had a problem. Next thing you're going to bring, so you're going to bring your praise, you're going to bring your person, and you're going to bring your problems to God. These guys had a problem. Said, Lord, consider their threats, man. They're telling us they're going to whoop us down. They're going to arrest. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. It says, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So often I think we just want to pray, Lord, consider their threats and take them away. Lord, take the bad guys away so we don't have to worry about any threats. I'm kind of threatened by threats. My life would be so much more comfortable if there were no threats coming around. Lord, can you make my life comfortable? Pray like that? Notice how they didn't pray like that. They said, enable us to speak your word boldly in the face of their threats. And they got arrested. Stephen was killed. Some gave their, if you give your all for the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll end up in heaven and you won't sweat it one bit. That's it? What? Can I get a witness on that? Amen. I'll tell you what, Glenn, they're messing with you. See, I tell my wife, I'll go to heaven, I'll be happy. Who's going to help me with the kids? I say, God's got the kids. Amen. God's got you, God's got me. Do you trust Him that enough? See, you present your person, your praise, your problems to God. These guys had a problem. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. These guys weren't backing off one bit. They were facing a great challenge. They were facing a roadblock in their lives. And the Lord would have you bring your roadblocks to Him. You say, oh, it's so messy. Bring your problems. He can handle it. God is not going to be surprised. God is not going to be disappointed. Because He already knows. You're not telling Him something. Oh, no, you did that? Oh, my. That's not how God rolls. God says, I know you've been doing that, and I know you've been doing that for the last 15 years, and I've been waiting for the 15 minutes you were going to show up one morning, we can start talking about it. Because you've been living in guilt, and I've been trying to get you out of it for 15 long years. What are you living in that the Lord would deliver you from? God already knows what you're going through. When you put your eyes upon the Lord for 15 minutes in the morning, going to have the impact of getting your eyes off your problems for the rest of the day. Amen? Amen. Some of you guys got your eyes on your problems all day, every day, and you're just getting beat down. God says, look how big I am. Your problem's like nothing to me. We got to remember that God is in control. 15 minutes a day is going to help us remember that. All right. Present your praise. Present your person. Present your problems. Present your people. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Intercession means praying for somebody who is not you. Pray for the people around you. And right now, some of you are just overwhelmed. Oh, where do I start? You don't know the people around me, Pastor. 15 minutes. Give me 15 hours, man. I'll put a little dent in that. Well, as you are praying about yourself and your heart and your problem, there's going to be some issues that pop up. You can start praying for the drama. Yeah, all you guys know what drama is. Oh, yeah, I got drama. You might have 15 hours worth of drama. I hope not. If not, you can give him the Reader's Digest version because, again, he knows already what is going on. He wants you to know what's going on. He wants to talk to you about what's going on. Say, pray for the drama. I'm not really getting that. Well, let's say that your mother is sick. Let's say that your friend lost their job. Drama. Start praying with that. It'll pop in your head. And you start praying for that. Now, when you pray, leave room for God to work. Because it's so easy to just pray, oh, I pray healing. I pray healing for my mom. It's a normal prayer. I pray that prayer. It's so easy to my friend Fred, I'm just praying, Lord, that you just get that job back for Fred. And the Lord is up there saying, I got him fired. See, you can find yourself praying against the will of God. That very job might be what's derailing your friend's life. That sickness that is in your mother could reveal a greater sickness. Lisa ran into Thomas Campbell the other day. He went to the Mayo Clinic. He had cancer wrapped around both of his lungs. The doctor said if you had waited 4 or 5 more days, you would be dead. Sometimes God's like giving us a wake-up call. Huh? Oh, just heal him. No, man, he's got a bigger issue. You got to leave room for God to work. Amen? Amen. So what you're going to do is you're going to pray the resources of God would be poured out upon your mom. That the resources of God would be just poured out upon your friend. And that gives God room to work. Amen? Amen? You're like that fireman. Keys to the kingdom of God. Keys to the power of God. Pour it out around you. Shoot it straight up in the air. Let it come down on you. Put it on the people around you. Situations, drama, all kinds of stuff. Present your problems. Present your people to God. Are we okay? 15 minutes a day, it'll change your life. Proverbs. Oh, no. Present your priorities. Praise, person, problems, people, priorities. Bible says, Proverbs 16:1-3, to a man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him. Oh, I'm fine. I had pie. Thanksgiving, I shouldn't have had it. Seemed fine to me. Motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. And some of you right now are going, what do you mean, plans? For some of you to submit your plans to God, you're going to have to get some. Hey, man, I just kind of hit the ground running. And I'm just kind of responding to what's going on around me all day long. Plans? I don't got any plans. Well, that's one big problem, folks. You spend 15 minutes with the Lord in the morning, you'll get some priorities. You'll get some plans. What plans? We bring our... Now, you start working on your plans. You're going to open them plans up to God. Some of you ladies go, I'm just going to clean my own house. Some of the guys go, mow my lawn, whatever. You're going to open your plans up to God. He is going to change them. That's it. One, come on now. He is going to change them.
Amen.
You say, why has he got to change my plans? Because you aren't that good. God is better than you. Bible says, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's God talking, okay? He says, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You got that little kid right there? Is he gone? You got that little kid right there? He's gone too? No more kids. I needed one. All right, here we go. Pretend this is a little kid. The little kid comes running up to you like, which, how old's your boy? Like one? One and a half? And how old's your boy? A grandson? Like two, right? And he comes up to you and he says, hey, how he's going to like do this great big thing and clean up his room and do all this kind of stuff. You just kind of look at him and go, yeah, right, kid. You're only 1 year old. You don't even know what you're talking about. You know what I'm talking about? You say, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we start with the big toys first? Okay. Let's not start with the glass. No. That's the way the Lord is to us. It's like, let's start with the easy stuff first. Man, you guys are way over your heads. You have no clue how to accomplish what you're trying to do. Or some other such thing. God says your priorities are all messed up. God says maybe I'm going to have you work on some of the stuff you've been praying for. You know, I'd kind of like to have you involved of some of your issues and the issues that are revolving around your life. Does that sound like a plan?
Amen.
I mean, it's like we come to the Lord. Lord, can you just fix all my stuff? And then I'll have my nice little life. And I'll promise I'll keep it clean. He says, that's not how I roll. You got all this drama around you. You got all this drama you've created. Let's start working on cleaning it up. It's like, well, that's no fun at all. Nowhere is there in there to say God's about your fun. Oh, come on now. Oh, I thought this God was the fun God. Where's the fun God, church? Ron's over here. He's bummed. We got barbecue afterward, but right now we do hard stuff. God wants you to be better at your life than you are right now. Amen?
Amen?
God wants to equip you. God wants to give you the keys of heaven. He wants you to understand how to work them. He wants you to be able to dive into the most savage situations that are around you. That's why these guys are praying that they might be emboldened and empowered to preach the word and to have miraculous signs and wonders accompany. He says, man, we aren't backing off. We are going double speed. And that's what he's looking for. He is looking for people that would bring forth the kingdom of God, the resources of the kingdom in the very situations that you are involved in. Make sense?
Amen.
All right. Are we good?
Yes.
15 minutes. All right. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. There's an answer, folks. Yeah, you ever think, well, how come I never get an answer to my prayer? These guys got an answer to their prayer. And amazingly, the answer that they got was exactly what they were asking for. Amen?
Amen.
They were empowered to preach the word. They spoke boldly. And God is looking for warriors that would push back the kingdom of darkness, that would overthrow the works of the devil that are going on around us, that are going on in your family, that are going on in your soul, that are going on in your life. He's looking for people that will work on that. It says, Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. That is how much I am for you. I want to see my resources just sprayed out in your life and in your situation. Can that be you? You need to be praying, spraying forth the power of God in your situation. You're going to get whooped around by the enemy anymore. I got the keys of the kingdom of God in my pocket. 15 minutes a day, you can learn how to do this. Now, we're going to end with this. I pray like this. And we're going to pray together. We're going to end our time together praying like this. And I chunked it up a little bit, but it's a little bit more fluid than the way I presented it in the last half an hour. But we're going to pray. Now, when I'm going to filter this a little bit, because God knows everything that's going on around here, but you guys don't. Okay? So I might be a little bit more cryptic. The other thing I do this silently. I do this in my mind. And I do most. I do all this. I learned this from Jack Hayford maybe 18 years ago. It will change your life, I guarantee you. So we're going to do this, okay? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray this. And I'm going to do this just so you can see it. Okay? Okay? Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty and awesome, Lord. I declare your glory in this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you created us, that you created each one of us, Lord, that your hand is upon me, your son, Lord, that your hand is upon my family, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have spared me, Lord, from a life of sin, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you pour out your anointing upon me, Lord, that you take care of my family, that you bless my wife, Lord. You are so awesome. You are so awesome, Lord. I give you praise this morning. You see how that praise part works? Lord, I give you praise, Lord. You are mighty. You are awesome, Lord. Present your person, Lord. I stand before you, Lord. I'm not what I should be, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would open my heart to me, Lord. Help me get beyond the people and the problems and the issues and all the stuff that surround me, Lord. Let me not lose sight, Lord, that I got to do a work on me today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you slow me down, Lord. I pray, Lord, for my body, the migraines that have been coming, Lord, this diabetes, Lord, that's knocking me down, Lord, that makes me less effective, Lord. I pray your healing touch would come down, Lord, and would heal me, Lord, that I might be more effective in your ministry, Lord, that I might be more effective and more conscious, Lord, of what is going around me, Lord, that you would use me in a more mighty way. You present your praise, you present your person. Lord, Lord, there are situations, Lord, around us, Lord. I lift up our church, Lord, the challenges, Lord, of people understanding the call of God. Your word tells us, Lord, that the fields are white with harvest, Lord, but the workers are few, Lord. And I pray, Lord, protection, Lord, protection as the enemy would come and bring attack against the workers in this church, Lord, and those that would come and link arms and see the need, Lord. I pray your protection, Lord. I pray that you raise them up, Lord, that you would lift them up, Lord. I pray that you would call others in, Lord, that there are those that are looking for a place to serve and a place to work, Lord, that can have incredible impact, Lord, on this body, Lord. I pray for those, Lord, that do not have a clear understanding of their role, Lord, the fact that the sacrifices that they make. There are some this morning, Lord, who just didn't think it was all that worthwhile to get out of bed and come to church, Lord. And I am praying, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, you would touch their heart, Lord, and that you would call them out into fullness, Lord. I pray, too, Lord, for the finances of this church, Lord, as the power and the other things go up, Lord, and the income of the people around us is going down, Lord, that there is a challenge that faces us in this coming year, Lord. And Lord, I just lift you up, Lord, this morning that you would meet that need, Lord. Lord, the people around us, Lord, this lady that walked in, I don't know if she was just running a game or she really doesn't have a place to stay or what, Lord. We have no resources, Lord, and the resources that we have stay here with people that we know, Lord. I pray for Glenn, Lord, and the challenges that he has at his work, Lord. I pray an empowerment upon him. Are we doing okay? I mean, I get lost a little bit in prayer, you know. I'm like, oh, man, you've been praying for 45 minutes. When's he going to stop? We're okay? This is how I want you to pray every morning. Lord Jesus, I pray as well for Yvette, Lord, for the physical challenges she has in her body, the healing touch, Lord, that would come out upon her, Lord. For Kathy, Lord, Johnny called this morning, Lord, the sickness that he's got in his stomach, Lord, that you would be his healer, Lord. I pray, Lord, Roki brought up this counseling opportunity a couple weeks back, Lord, that you would help us to understand what is available as resources to this body, Lord, that we might see healing, Lord, brought forth from heaven, Lord. The keys would be opened, Lord, and that you would do a work among us. I didn't bring up as you go past the drama, you start working for praying for your family. People closest, you might not have family living with you. But, you know, like your friend you're seeing 3-4 hours a day, a workmate, the people that you're living with, it might be a roommate, not a family member, but your family's that inner circle. So, Lord, I lift up Lisa to you, Lord, and I'm praying just a healing touch, and Joe and Leanne were coughing this morning, Lord, that you would protect them. I pray as they get ready for school before the end of Christmas break, Leanne starting the soccer program, Lord, that you would be with her, help her understand all that. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you protect my family, Lord, that I praise you for that. Lord, then move out further. Lord, for this church family, I've already lifted several people up, Lord. For the folks that aren't here this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, just a calling upon them, Lord. Let them find the fullness of your life, Lord, the life spent with you. And, Lord, the challenge that we have, Lord, internationally, the economy that is cratering in Europe, kind of looking bad, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would use this. Lord, let the church come up in Europe, Lord. We see China, Lord, all kinds of stuff going on in China, that the church would come in Middle East and Egypt where these guys were arrested. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your spirit goes before them. Let your spirit go forth. We would see your power, Lord. Priorities. Sometimes I lose track. Lord, this coming week, I lay my schedule before you, Lord. Lord, I want to write that newsletter for Pastor Dave, Lord. We need to make the needs known of this church, Lord. The people, Lord, that you put in my heart, Lord, that you would help me prioritize that. The meetings that need to happen in this church, Lord, for the leadership, as Lisa's talking about getting a vision for the coming year and for each department head to begin to think about that, develop this plan of outreach in the food ministry of in January, as we would have this targeted outreach for the younger mothers, Lord, that are in this congregation, the younger fathers, that they might indeed be better families, better men and women led and guided by your spirit. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that was, I want to say 9 minutes. Say 9 minutes. Say 9 minutes. Say 9 minutes. Say 9 minutes.